Welcome to Healing Fire Ministries. We hope you will be blessed as you listen to this message. God bless you.
Acts chapter 8. In fact, I changed my mind. Come to Acts chapter 1.
Jesu, rapelamorimo, wami solo.
Let's start in verse 12. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. Hallelujah. Now, ladies and gentlemen, as I have told you, the reason why we are embarking in this Bible study groups is because the church has its foundation in starting in people's homes. Do you understand? Now, what we just read here, we see that they were in the upper room. This is the same upper room of Acts chapter 2, where the Holy Spirit came and they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. When you read the book of Acts chapter 8, you will see that when Paul was chasing all God's people back then, he was finding them in homes, which means that they were busy having church in the homes, and Paul was coming to stop churches happening. Hallelujah. So we are, you know, when I was in the soccer days, they used to tell us that we have to go back to basics. You know, some people are so skillful, but they can't trap the ball. The basic of soccer, you must be able to trap the ball and kick it. Do you understand? So also, we have to, as a church, go back to basics, where we return to these Bible study groups, where Christians in their homes, they can gather together, worship the Lord, praise the Lord, and pray. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So it is very important that we get back into it. And as Healing Fire Ministries, beginning from last year, okay, the rain is now on my pulpit. Amen. Beginning from last year, we've started having Bible study groups. Amen. And already I've been hearing some powerful testimonies. There are brothers and sisters here in the church. When you look at them, they don't look like they have any word in them. But when they come to the Bible study group, the word that is in them is very amazing. Hallelujah. So I like hearing such things. Amen. So I want to encourage you, let's keep doing this thing. Hallelujah. All right, let's just go through what we taught you last week. Just for someone who's new today, we'll catch up where we are. Amen. Last week, what points did I give you? Sorry, my notes are refusing to open from last week. If you are here last week, give us a point. So, you have to believe in these Bible studies that we are doing. Hallelujah. If you don't believe, it will not work for you. Are you listening to me, somebody? Tell your neighbor, if you don't believe, it will not work for you. What was number two? You have to be loyal. Are you listening to me? Anything that you do not commit to, it will not work for you. Do you understand? Yeah. Imagine if you are in a relationship with someone who says they are going to marry you, but they only see you once a month, or once every 2 months, or even once a year. Do you think that person's going to marry you? So commitment is extremely important when it comes to the work of God. And this is where many Christians struggle. A lot of Christians cannot commit to, you know, like for example, as far as I can remember, I've never missed church since my wedding. And I got married, when was our wedding again? In 2016, February. That was the last time on a Sunday I was not in church. Whether it was raining, whether it was, I was in church. I knew you won't say amen. So. Can I hear a loud amen, assembly? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm committed. Even if there's five of you here, I will come and I will preach. I will have church. Very committed to what I'm doing. Hallelujah. So for anything to work, it requires commitment. Some Christians are even tempted to go to sangomas. And why? Because they are not committed. Keep saying amen, please. I'm still talking something powerful. One time I got a phone call at night. One of my former church members was going through some issues. The husband was sick. Okay? When I got there, I found a gentleman sitting on the sofa. Only to my shock, the former church member had called me, the pastor, and had called her sangoma also. And said, maybe one of you it will work. Both of you must come. So I said, listen, I don't work like this. It's either me or him. And the sangoma said, look, we don't need to fight. We can work together. I said, listen, it's either me or him. Then my church member said, Mr. Sangoma, here's the door, please. And I prayed. So it's amazing how Christians are so weak in faith. Hallelujah. And one of the reasons for that is a lack of commitment to God, to his house, to his word, and to prayer. We have to be committed. Hallelujah. What was number three? Was there number three? Ignore mockers. Hallelujah. You know, when you do the work of God, there are many people who want to laugh at you. Are you listening to me? So ignore such foolish people. Hallelujah. Do you remember Tobias? Do you remember Sanballat? They were laughing at Nehemiah for building the walls of Jerusalem. They laughed. So as we are doing these Bible study groups, some people may come and laugh at us and say, what type of Bible study group is this? Why are you speaking in English? Why this? Why that? Why this? Ignore such foolish people. Hallelujah. We are beginning something new. And every time you start something new, it's not always perfect yet. But as we work on it and as we commit, it will become perfect. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Yeah. I remember what my spiritual father, Bishop Doug Hewitt Mills, when he started having branches, there will be five people, three people coming to church in a branch. And he says that people would laugh and said, no, this is not a branch, this is a home cell. They used to say, it's not a branch, it's a home cell. And he told his people that where two or three are gathered in the name of the Lord, the Lord is there. And he pressed on. Today he's got thousands of churches all over the world. Hallelujah. So we are not ashamed that we are starting. We are not ashamed that, you know, it may not be perfect yet. But we know what we are doing. And we know the results that are going to come out. Hallelujah. Dr. Yongi Cho, you know, is one person who's famous for home cell groups. And in his home cell groups, they would have problems. People will be preaching that God has three heads. Hey! They'll be teaching such things in the study group. And so when he found out, he corrected it quickly. But even though people may make such mistakes, it doesn't mean that the whole thing is bad. We are still working on it. We are fixing it. And over time, many people will come to know God through these things. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Put your hands together for Jesus. That's very powerful. Now for today, for a very short time, sorry, my notes are very misbehaving today. If you see me just taking a bit of time. Paul, while you wait, we wait for my notes, come to the front quickly. Stand here. Hallelujah. You see this brother, next week, by the grace of God, he's going to start his tertiary education. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord. It's powerful. Now, he's not just going to school, but we are going to sow him as a seed there. Are you listening to me? And we are trusting God that through him, we are going to have souls in the school that he's going to. Hallelujah. We are working out trying to start a church where he's going through him. Are you listening to me? So very soon, in a couple of months, you'll see him coming. He will not come alone. He will come with the people that he has won there where he's going. It's a good time to put your hands together for the Lord. I want everybody to stretch your hands towards him, and I want us to pray for him. Ask the Lord to be with him. Ask the Lord to use him. Ask the Lord to make him a soul winner. Hallelujah. Ask the Lord to make him a shepherd, to grant him the grace to be able to take care of souls. Open your mouth, begin to pray for him. Father, we thank you so much that Healing Fire Ministries can sow a seed. Healing Fire Ministries can send. You've opened a door for him to continue his education. But Father, he has accepted the call and he's saying that, Lord, I don't want to just go and study there only, but I want you to use me. Just like Isaiah said, Lord, here am I, use me. We ask that you use this life. We ask that you glorify yourself through this life. We ask that you anoint him, my King, in the mighty name of Jesus. And we ask that, Lord, your spirit will come upon him for the new journey that he's beginning. Grant him grace to do well at school and grant him grace to be a soul winner and a shepherd where he is going. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we have prayed. And the church will say aloud, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother, may the Lord's hand be upon you. May you be fruitful in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that God, when he sends his word, it doesn't come back to him void. As we are sending you to Soshanguve, may you not come back void. May you not come back having not accomplished what you are going there to do. Hallelujah. And through your life, may many come to know Jesus Christ. And may the Lord cover you with his precious blood. And I decree and I declare that no witch, no demonic power will be able to face you in Jesus' name. Amen. Put your hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. So keep praying for him. Where's Mamnana? Mamnana, pray for him, assembly, okay? All right, go. Nizomtandazelang it. Amen. Put your hands together for him. Powerful. So you may not see him next week. All right, we'll find out during the week what's going on. Amen. Now, one of the importance of the Bible study groups that we have engaged on, hallelujah, is that these Bible study groups are going to be a soul-winning tool for the church. Are you listening to me? Through these Bible study groups, souls must be won. Souls must be won. I said souls must be won. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. This is your opportunity to really start doing something for the Lord. Some of you, I cannot call you to the front and give you the mic and say, preach. No, it's not yet time. But through these Bible study groups, you have the opportunity to impact lives, to change lives, to transform lives. Hallelujah. So, for a very short time today, I want to teach on why you must be a soul winner. Why you must be what? A soul winner. Number one, because heaven is real and hell is also real. Heaven is real, hell is also real. Hallelujah. Turn your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 16. Say, neighbor, where's your Bible? What are they saying? We still have two Bibles left. Hallelujah. Please make sure that if you don't have a Bible, you get a Bible as soon as possible. Amen. Amen and amen. All right, verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fed sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments and seeing Abraham afar off. Amen. So these gentlemen, both of them died, right? And when they died, one was carried by angels, and the Bible says was taken to Abraham's bosom. Hallelujah. And the other one also died. And the Bible says, in hell, he lifted up his eyes. Someone say, in hell. Now, boy, come here quickly. I need some brothers to come. Some 3-4 brothers. Quickly. I want you to surround him, be around him. And I want all of you to hold his garment and be pulling him. Now, this is life. Do you understand? This is you trying to achieve. This is you trying to be a good Christian. Do you understand? And there are so many forces that are trying to pull you in different directions. Are you listening to me? And so it becomes very difficult for you to get where you are going. And as a Christian, our destiny is heaven. There's a force pulling him here that is taking his concentration from where he's trying to go. There's a force pulling him and taking him another direction. There's another force pulling him and trying. It's a force that, you know, the pressures of career, the pressures of work, the pressures of relationships, the pressure, everything is trying to pull us. You're not saying amen like nothing is pulling you. You are just walking fine. You are cool, no problem. Have you noticed that there's pressures in life? And the ultimate goal of all these pressures is to keep you from going to heaven. And the reality, ladies and gentlemen, is that this place is real, called heaven. And this place called hell is real. I always tell of the story of Brenda Fassie. They say that when she was on her dying bed, all of a sudden she started screaming, "Ah!" And she died. Now I can tell you for free, mahala, when you are going to heaven, there's no screaming on your way to heaven. There's no screaming. No. I've heard stories of people going to heaven and Jesus has said, "No, it's not yet your time. Go back." They said, "No, I don't want to go back. I want to stay in heaven." But it is people who are seeing hell that are screaming. It's people who are seeing the flames. This rich man never understood that this place is real. People were telling him about hell and telling him that you must avoid it and telling him to live his life right before God. And he was focusing on his business. He was focusing on his children. He was focusing on his status in life that he forgot to focus on God. Before he knew it, he was opening his eyes, and the Bible says in hell he opened his eyes. He didn't think that he was real. He never thought that me, a rich man like this, can end up in hell. He was so focused on other things, he forgot the reality of heaven. He forgot the reality of hell. That he realized when he was there. That in hell now he was trying to be a preacher. "Oh, Father Abraham, please send Lazarus. I know my brothers. I know the life they are living. Please, please send him." Abraham said, "Brother, it's too late now to try to be a preacher. You had your chance on the earth. And by the way, there's preachers on the earth. If you won't listen to those preachers, nothing will change your brothers' minds." We must never forget that this thing is real. Heaven is real. Hell is real. And God has entrusted us to be the roadblock from hell. The roadblock to hell. Like, people must not go to hell. I don't know if my English is correct. But many Christians are too focused on dress. Too focused on family. These things are not wrong. We're not saying that you must come to church naked now. No. Please don't get me wrong. But you are so focused on clothing, so focused on things that do not cause you to go to heaven. To the point where you yourself are endangering your destiny. And to the point that you yourself don't care what's happening to other people. So these Bible study groups are giving us the opportunity to be soul winners, to invite somebody. Maybe you cannot preach yet, but just to invite somebody, and that someone is in that atmosphere of God's word, that person can change their life by receiving Jesus, and their destiny of hell will be changed to a destiny of heaven. Hallelujah. So we must be soul winners because this thing is real. It's real. Tell your neighbor, say it's real. Thank you, brothers. Put your hands together for them. Tell your other neighbor, say, "Neighbor, it's real. It's real. It's real. It's real." Hallelujah. I refuse to go to hell in Jesus' mighty name. And to the best of my abilities, and by the grace of God given unto me, anyone who's around me, I try my best to convince them to not go to hell. Hallelujah. And to go to heaven. Amen. May your children go to heaven. May your family members go to heaven. May your friends go to heaven. May your colleagues go to heaven. May your neighbors go to heaven. Because you've decided to be a soul winner. Put your hands together for Jesus. Number two, why you must be a soul winner. Because a soul winner is free from bloodshed. A soul winner is free from bloodshed. Ezekiel chapter 3 from verse 17. The book of Ezekiel chapter 3 from verse 17. Mashata, are you listening to me? Powerful. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17. Are we there? The Bible says, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, Thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Hallelujah. So God says that you are a watchman as a child of God. Do you understand? And God says that if I tell you that a wicked man is about to die, go warn him that if he dies in his wickedness, he's going to hell. Are you understanding? And the Bible says that if you do not go and tell him, and that person dies, then God will require that person's blood at your hand. In other words, if you know someone who's not born again, and you have the opportunity to tell them about Jesus Christ, sometimes it can be a close friend. Like I said, 90% of church members, they are best bombers, their best friends are unbelievers. You don't want to say amen. Let me just preach. I said 90% of believers, their best friends are unbelievers. Amen. Now I'm preaching. You say you love your friend, but you are going to heaven and your friend is going to hell. The friend that you claim to love. And God is saying that if that friend of yours dies, not knowing him personally, that person is going to hell. And God is saying that person's blood will be in your hands. Are you listening to me? So I'm making an example of a friend. It could be a family member. Some of us sitting here, our children are the worst heathen, unbelievers, sinners of the world. I know you won't say amen, it's okay. Me, I've been young before, I've had friends before. And I knew my friends, how the praises of their parents were the best. But when I was with them, I knew that this guy, One time I was walking, those days I was a soccer player, so I was coming from soccer practice or something. And I met this other guy who was my friend, and he was walking with two girls. One he had put his hand around and put the other hand around, and he was walking like that. Big man walking with two girls like that. And so as I was passing, he said, hey, Kola, how are you? And I said, I'm good. And he said, no, come, let's go together. And when I looked at the picture, I said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I'm not going with this guy. said, in the name of Jesus, I'm not going with him. Because I could see where he's going. I could see. And I said, no, I'm very busy. I'm going somewhere else. I'll see you next time. And I ran. Balega ngenyawo zombili. I ran away. But I knew to his parents, he was the best guy. When his parents are talking to him, oh, my son, I know my son is good, my son. Some of us parents, our children are the worst that you can find. They are, you know, you have a spiritual father. They are a father in sin. They don't just sin, but they teach other people to sin. And you know, when you won't preach, it's better to preach to them and they reject your message than for you to be just quiet. I listen to me. So we must be a soul winner. We must be soul winners. We must understand that people can go to hell. We must understand that they must know God. They must have a relationship with God. And every time we share and talk to people, then we are, you know, God will not blame us when they die. I remember many years ago, my father, the way I used to pray for him, I prayed for him until God said, look, it's enough now. Have you ever prayed like that? So I prayed for him, asking God for his salvation, asking God for his salvation, asking God for his salvation. Then one particular time, my father had a heart attack. Then I said, good shot, it's the time now. Because many times when things happen, that's when people start thinking about God. You understand what I'm saying? And I was shaking. And I said, this is my opportunity. Imagine preaching to your father. I said, this is the opportunity for me to tell him about Jesus now. And I remember it was me, my mother, and my father, the three of us. We had just fetched him from hospital. And we had just finished eating. And I've been planning to talk, but I was shaking. But I knew I must say something. So eventually, I gathered the courage and I told him about Jesus Christ. Hey! You, your father, you won't tell him. Your mother, you won't tell him. You may be surprised that if they end up in hell, and when you die and meet Jesus, their blood will be on your hands. All right, I'm talking about family, but even neighbors. Look, I'm not asking you to become an evangelist now. No. Just to invite. Yes, Maki, I'm going to a home cell. Can we go together? Finished. You've done your job. They may not come. Hi, Makin busy man. Mzakbona next week. I mean. That, come here, Sandile. Come here quickly. Let me make example with you because I know you won't be offended. You can sit at that chair. He's not gonna come back there, that guy. When they invited you to church, did you come immediately?
No.
How many times roughly did they invite you?
They invited me once, but I took about 3 weeks.
You took about 3 weeks. Hey! When you came, were you flowing? Did you become Brother Sandile? Were you in love with Jesus?
At all.
What happened? Tell us what happened.
Mama Rudy used to chase me a lot.
What do you mean chase you? What do you mean?
I used to come this week and next week don't come. And then come again, and then after service I would run.
You would run? Were you running intentionally, or you know you were in a hurry to go somewhere?
Intentionally.
And then what happened? How did you become serious with God?
By coming to church more often.
So did she give up on you? Did she stop in chasing you?
She didn't stop.
Hallelujah. So even your neighbor is going to run. Even worse than Sandile, your neighbor is going to run. But don't be discouraged. K. keep inviting, keep inviting, keep inviting. Eventually they will come. And also when they come, you see, he was coming, but he was still running. He was at church, but still running. Nomsa, I feel like asking you, will you? All right, Paul, come, let me ask you. In fact, this one is worse. Come quickly, quickly. This guy would invite him to church, and we won't find him at his place. And I think his family are very guilty. He will be there, but they will say, no, Paul is not around. And then when you find him and say, Paul, where were you? And you will say what?
I was at home.
At times he will say, I was sleeping. But we are going to church. We are inviting you to church. And he will say, I was sleeping. Shamelessly, not like he was ish passed out. No, coolly, I was sleeping. But today we are sending him. Amen. Do you understand? Yeah. So we don't give up on people. We don't give up. Amen. Some of you are in church today, but still, we are still chasing you till today. Ask your neighbor, are they talking about you? Are they talking about you? Put your hands together for Jesus. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Do you want God to blame you for the death of people? So, at least invite them, okay? To your home cell. At least invite them. I say home cell, I mean Bible study group. Amen. So make sure that you deliver yourself from the blood of people. Okay? By just inviting them. Whether they come or not, just keep inviting. Just keep inviting. Just keep inviting. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, just invite, invite, invite people, okay? Now tell your neighbor, look at them eyeball to eyeball. Invite them. It's simple. Tell them, invite them, please. Tell them, invite your friend. Invite your neighbor. Invite your family members. Invite them. Invite them. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I've given you how many points? 2. Number 3. A soul winner is fruitful. A soul winner is someone who is fruitful. Turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30. A soul winner is someone who is fruitful. Okay, let's start at John chapter 15. John chapter 15 and verse, let's start at verse 13. Or rather, yeah, verse 13. Are we there? John chapter 15, verse 13. Surprise, are you here? Powerful. The Bible says, greater love had no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Verse 16 is what we want. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. Hallelujah. So Jesus is talking to us, his Christians. Do you understand? And he's saying that you have not chosen him, but he's the one who has selected you. And he didn't just select you, but he appointed you, he ordained you, he empowered you to be fruitful. Do you understand? As a Christian, you must be fruitful. As a Christian, you must be fruitful. As a Christian, you must be fruitful. You know, this is one of the things that scares me a lot, you know. One day Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, and during that trip, the Bible says he was very hungry, and he saw a fig tree. And you know, if you are hungry, you have that hope for food. So as he comes to the fig tree, and it was the season for it to have gotten fruit, when he got there, there was no fruit on the tree. And the Bible says he cursed the tree. He cursed it. When I look at such a scripture, I become afraid. The loving Jesus who came to die for our sins is cursing a tree. And I realize that as a child of God, I must do my best to be fruitful. In other words, I must do something for my God. I must not only work for myself. I must not only work for my family. I must not only work for my children. I remember when my daughter was less than a year old, a couple of months old. We started this church and we used to be at the school. And we used to do outreach to go invite people to church. Oh, our church is new. Please come to our church. We'll walk around Extension 6, go into Extension 24, go into all these areas. And we used to walk. I remember my wife and I used to argue. And say, I used to say to her, today she's going to go with you. And she says, no, she went with me last week. This week she's going with you. And we'll be doing evangelism, outreach, pushing a pram like this, pushing it. Sometimes my wife will put her on her back and he'll be, please come to our church, and giving out flyers. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Because we understood we have to be fruitful. We must do something for our King. Hallelujah. Amen. Ask your neighbor, say, my wonderful neighbor, who looks so nice today, are you fruitful? Proverbs 11 verse 30. Are you there? Proverbs chapter 11 verse 30. If you are there, say amen. Amen. The Bible says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. He that winneth souls is wise. He that does what? Wins souls. So here the Bible is telling us how you can be fruitful by winning souls. When you win souls, you become fruitful in God's eyes. Hallelujah. Amen. Tell your neighbor, I must become a soul winner. Amen. So that we can be fruitful. Number four. You must be a soul winner because soul winning brings joy to heaven. You must be a soul winner because soul winning brings joy to heaven. Luke chapter 15 from verse 1. Sandil. Hallelujah. Are you in Luke chapter 15 verse 1? The Bible says, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it? And when he had found it, he laid it on his shoulders, and rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he called together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which I lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repented more than over 99 just persons that which need no repentance. Hallelujah. So the Bible clearly tells us that every time we win a soul, we bring joy to heaven. We bring celebrations to heaven. Are you listening to me? So we are children destined for heaven. And we must make sure that we win souls. When you get to heaven, you must be known. Are you listening to me? In this life, you know, we have very few famous people and stars. And one of the reasons why you become a star is when you excel in something. You become so good. In soccer, one of the guys who is a star is Lionel Messi. Very famous gentleman. And the reason why he's famous is because he excels. He's better than almost all of them in soccer. Same thing with music, same thing in the professional industry, same thing everywhere. You get known because you become so good in something. In heaven, if you keep causing parties in heaven, someone's going to ask, who's the cause of these parties? Then the angels are going to say, God, there is a gentleman there in earth. His name is Puti. God's going to say, man, but Puti. Then because you are always bringing joy in heaven, you will become known in heaven. Many of us are unknown in heaven. You've never done anything that brings headlines to heaven. You've never headlined, never. Sure, let me preach this side. I say you've never headlined in heaven. You are unknown, and unknown to your God, to your Father. Unknown. What have you done? Have you won one soul? One, just one. Have you invited one person? Do you pray for anyone? Or every time you pray, oh, Mudimo, Anga, if you can give me. How do you say, if you can give me? Anga, Swiki, Mudimo, Anga, Mberego, Mudimo, Mberego, Assembly. That's the only prayer that God ever hears from you. Knows nothing but Job. Even your nickname in heaven is Job. That one who's always crying for Job. Always crying for Job. Why can't you pray for somebody else? Please say amen. I'm preaching powerfully. Or do you want me to preach? Next year by this time, I see you getting your car. I can preach like that. But also you must make heaven happy first. Make heaven happy. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for Jesus. Do you know how much I love you as your pastor? I want to tell you the truth. And I want to make sure that when you get there, you are not just some ordinary person who has just made it by chance. Puti, are you still here? Don't make it by chance. Excel. I said excel. You're excelling at your job. Why don't you also excel for God? You're excelling with how you are raising your children. Why don't you excel for God also? Learn to excel for Jesus. Hallelujah. So please, become a soul winner, so that you can bring joy to heaven in the name of Jesus Christ. We as Healing Fire Ministries, we want to bring joy to heaven. Hallelujah. Number 5 or 4, wherever we are, you must be a soul winner because we need laborers in the kingdom. You must be a soul winner because we need laborers in God's kingdom. Matthew chapter 9 verse 36. Matthew chapter 9 verse 36. Man terebo shandarabakoriandarabasyodos. help us, Holy Ghost, to become whole soul winners. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. Are we there? The Bible says, but when he saw the multitudes, let's read from verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Someone say, the laborers are few. Yeah. In verse 38, it says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. Amen. You know, there are people who make comments and say, hey, there's too many churches. I can tell you for free, there are not enough churches. We need more. The ratio between people who know God and have a relationship with him compared to those who don't know him, there is a higher percentage of those who don't know God compared to those who know him. I listen to what I'm saying. The Bible actually tells us that if we can preach to the whole world that all 7 billion of people who live on this earth, only about 25% will know Jesus personally. That's what the Bible tells us. Now, for the few to know him, many must hear the message. Because when you preach to 100, it's not 100 that receive. It's only about 25%. I listen to what I'm saying. Yeah. So, don't be just someone who doesn't care. So Jesus, he was in a crusade, preaching, winning souls. But in that situation, his heart was broken. Because he knew that I've won this soul's great, but I'm leaving. Who's going to take care of them? Who's going to continue encouraging them? Who's going to sharpen their Christianity? Who's going to encourage them to pray? Who's going to encourage them to read the Bible? And Jesus said, the harvest is plenteous, but the people who are willing to work for God, the people who are willing to sacrifice a Saturday, sacrifice a Wednesday, are few. Very few. And I'm preaching to try and to encourage you that don't be like just a useless believer. But be the type that through your life, someone will be touched. Someone's life will be changed. And it can start by just simply inviting them. Let's go. I'm going to a Bible study group. Let's go. And after the study group, how was it? Oh, no, it was okay. Okay, next week I'll fetch you again. Let's go. Before you know it, they'll be knocking at your door on Wednesday. Hey, are you ready? Let's go. I'm waiting for you. Before you know it, you would have saved. You know, somebody told me about Jesus. That's what has made me to what I am today. I still remember the year was 2005. I still remember where we were. We were sitting on a bench surrounded by my friends. I was telling Mom Ruthie this story recently and she was laughing at me. And this friend of mine said to me, Pastor Temba, some of you know him. He said to me, do you want to receive Jesus into your heart? Do you want to be born again? And I said, nope. He was surprised. And I had been going to church for a while. And he said, do you want to be born again? I said, no. And he said, why? And I said, hey, I know myself. I don't want to commit myself to Jesus now. 2 days later, I'm back to my things. And I'll never forget what he said to me. He said, just trust me. Just trust me. Receive Jesus. And I don't know why he said that. And I didn't know what is a relationship with Jesus. I didn't know nothing. I said, okay, fine. And he prayed with me. And I received Jesus into my heart. And as though I was a prophet, within a week, I was back into my sins. Within a week. But a seed had been planted in my heart. A seed had been planted. In 2006, when I finished my matric, no school would open their doors for me. Nothing was happening. When I look into my future, I could not see the light. I only see darkness. I remember sitting one day with my friend in the hours around 1 a.m. We were sitting in Arcadia and we were sitting down. I was waiting for a taxi that will bring me home. And I remember saying to him, my friend, when I look at my future, I don't see anything. And that this friend of mine was going through the same thing I was going through. And he said, my friend, I also don't see anything. And then we encouraged each other. And we said, one day, my friend, I will invite you to my wedding. One day, my friend. And we were just prophesying to each other. And during that season, that my life was just, I didn't know what was going on. Another friend of mine came to me. There were two of them, I remember. They said, I remember Pirates was playing against SuperSport. And they said, let's go to Loftus Versfeld. Let's go watch the game. And normally I would go and come back home. And they said, no, bring clothes to change. Today we'll go watch the soccer game. Tomorrow we are going to church. And so I brought church clothes and we went, we watched the soccer game. And the next day we went to church. That was the beginning of the changing of my life. And the next Sunday, they call me again, let's go to church. And the next Sunday, let's go to church. And the next Sunday, let's go to church. Until one day, it was in me that I'm going to church. And I still remember one day, they called fasting and prayer like we were having. I had never fasted or prayed in my life before. I didn't even know what that was. And I just told myself, okay, I'm just going to be part of it. And we fasted and prayed the whole week. And I still remember how I used to pray those days. I'll pray for about 5-10 minutes and run out of things to say. And I'll start crying. And I'll say, God, you want me to pray to you, but I don't know what to say to you. Those were my prayer topics. And I remember one day, it was a Friday. The fasting and prayer was ending. And I remember I was lifting up my hands. We were sharing the grace. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was just standing there. And I heard a voice to the point that I wanted to look back. And the voice said to me, my son, all these days you have never sought me. Only now you are beginning to search for me. So I was, who's talking? And as I was going home, I told my friend, I said, you know, while we were standing there, I heard something. And I told him what I heard. And he said to me, you heard the voice of God. You don't know how happy I was. God spoke to me. God spoke to me. God spoke to me. God spoke to me. I was so happy. You don't even understand. Why? Because somebody came and pulled me. Let's go to church. They used soccer to pull me. Maybe I would have said no. But they just said, let's go watch the game. After the game, we are going to church the next day. That was the beginning of transformation. And I gave myself to the Lord. And I've seen many lives being changed. I'll never forget this one here. He said, he told us, he was standing here. He said, I used to drink so much. On Friday, Saturday morning, I wake up in Joburg and I wonder, how did I get here? How did I get here? Am I lying?
You're telling the truth.
Now he's one of the guys I rely on. Serious with the Lord. Because one person invited me to church. Pulled me. Let's go. The laborers are few. Decide to become a laborer. Are you understanding me, somebody? Yeah. I mean, We've got in a week, we've got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I listen to what I'm saying. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Listen to how many days. I'm only asking just on Wednesday, on Tuesday. Even for 1 hour. I'm not saying the whole day. Did you hear what I said? There's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Fridays. I even have to take a breath before I get to Sunday. And I'm only asking you just 1 hour on Wednesday or Tuesday. Just go there and sit with other Christians. You've got Monday to yourself. You can do everything you want to do. You've got Tuesday, you've got Thursday, you've got Friday. Ha! You are not too busy.
Amen.
Am I talking to somebody? Are you going to be a laborer in the house of God? We must be soul winners so that we can be laborers in the house of God. Hallelujah. I'll give you the last point for today. Number, what number are we on? Number 6. You must be a soul winner because a soul winner is full of joy. A soul winner is full of joy. Luke chapter 10 from verse 1. The book of Luke chapter 10 from verse 1. Am I preaching or am I preaching? I in the book of Luke chapter 10. The Bible says, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. Let's jump to verse 17. So you see, Jesus sent them to go win souls. Let's jump to verse 17. The Bible says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. When they went for soul winning, the Bible says they came back with joy. They came back with joy. Some of us are so depressed in life. Just try to do the work of God. You will notice that your sadness, the focus on your problems and troubles will go away. I'm sure these guys had their own problems. But the Bible says when they came back from a soul winning campaign, they came back with joy. They came back with joy. If you serve God, if you invite somebody and you see that life changing, it will bring you joy that nothing else can bring. I understand it. Yeah. I never knew this guy. I never knew that my little small hands, if I lay my hands on someone, something can happen. But in those days, I remember I told my pastor, I said, Pastor, I want to start a hospital ministry in this church. I want to go to hospitals every Sunday and preach to the sick people. And I gathered a little group and I taught them how to win souls. And I said, we are going to the hospitals. And the joy. I remember one gentleman, an old man, I'll never forget him. He was lying on his bed. And I said, sir, can I please speak to you? And he said, yes, we can speak to you. And I said, I would like to tell you about Jesus. And he said, okay, go ahead. And I started telling him about the Lord Jesus. After I finished, I said, would you like to be born again? I'll never forget. He said, oh, how I would love to be born again. And I led him to Christ. And the way the guy got saved that day, it was as though I was waiting for someone to come and tell me this message. I was just waiting for somebody. And he got born again gloriously that day. I remember one day, I went to the hospital and I preached. That time, I walked into a ward. When I got there, it was visiting hours. Many people had come to visit their sick family members. And I decided to preach because, you see, all of us need salvation, whether you are sick or not sick. So I preached. And I remember there was one guy dressed in all black. He was wearing, what do they call those techies? All Stars. He looked like Alaska Jasmine and Trumpies. He looked like a serious Pantula guy. When after I led them to Christ and I said amen, to my shock, I saw a Pantula guy crying. And he ran out because he was ashamed that he was crying. I was so happy that God can even save Pantula guys like that. Oh, what joy. I remember one day I was preaching again. When I finished leading someone to Christ, a woman just started screaming, giving God glory, worshiping God, and just started singing in front of everybody here there. And I said, wow, the joy of salvation. I was so happy. So happy. So winning brings joy. A lot of you don't enjoy church, you don't enjoy God because you are sitting down. Just go out and invite somebody. You'll begin to realize that God is in you. You'll start seeing God speaking through you. You'll start seeing the power of God upon you. You are not noticing this because you are not involved. Just get involved a little bit. You'll realize that, hey, actually God is in me. You'll realize, you'll notice it. Am I talking to somebody? Say, neighbor, from today, I'm becoming a soul winner. Say it like you're a soldier. I'm becoming a soul winner. I'm becoming a soul winner. I'm becoming a soul winner. Put your hands together for Jesus and give him praise. Hallelujah. So, I want to encourage everybody here to really, really, really take these Bible study groups seriously and just invite a person every week. Hallelujah. Pull your neighbor, pull your brother, pull your sister, and go together to the Bible study groups. Hallelujah. Let's rise to our feet. Put your hands together for the Lord. As you rise to your feet, put your hands together for Jesus. I said, put your hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. Be the type of Christian that God will be proud of. God said of Jesus, this is my son, in whom I am well pleased. God said to Satan, have you seen my servant Job? God said, there's nobody like Job on the earth. Be a Christian that God will be proud of. Hallelujah. I want you to pray for yourself. You know, being a soul winner is scary. When you approach somebody you don't know and tell them about Jesus, it's scary. The only person who's not afraid is my wife, you know. Sometimes I'll just watch her and she'll just face whoever. Me, I'm always shaking. And I have to win about one or two people, talk about one or two people before I become okay. Do you understand? It's a difficult job. But I want us to ask God to grant us the grace to be soul winners. Hallelujah. Open your mouth and pray and say, Lord, help me. I want to be involved. I want to serve you. I want to be fruitful. I want to bring joy to heaven. Open your mouth. Pray, somebody. Pray. Mandere ba shandaria kapandara yandara ba sunduro. Reba kapara ba shantala ba lama koreandere ba dung. Pray. I want to hear you. Open your mouth and pray. Ask him to help you. My Lord, grant us grace. Grant this church grace. Grant this house grace. That we will all become soul winners. That we will all become soul winners. That we will all become soul winners. Manderebo shandala bakurus. Hey. Mansondere ante. Rashantala bakurus. Rakaparabasyande. Mandereba kariandere. Rakaparabasanderebos. Rashantere bakurus. I want to be a soul winner, Lord. I want to bring joy to heaven. I want to be fruitful, my King. I've been a Christian for many years now, but there's no fruits that I can point to. My King, grant me grace to be a soul winner. Anoint me with the Holy Spirit. Empower me with the Holy Spirit so that I can win souls, so that I can invite them to the Bible study groups, so that I can invite them to church. Hey, kapin toraba shatekela. Repakora bashandara da da mandere be kambrandere be gorose repandere bosyanda. I want to bring joy to heaven. Mantere boshia kabora. Help me to tell people the message of the gospel. Rendere boshia kaderi resandere bosyanda. Let me become one of the laborers in your house. Let me become one of the laborers in your house. For you said the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. My King, may I be counted amongst the few. May I be counted amongst the few. Rashandere bakolo, rasapandere bora, rashandere bokorandere, rasandere boshianda. Open your mouth and pray, somebody. Reshadeke, ask the Lord to use you. Ask the Lord to use you. Mante kepe. Lo sandara bashandere bakariande, mokorobo shandere bakayandere banda. Father, we thank you. In the mighty name of your Holy Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for reminding us that, Lord, we can all play our small part in this great work that you are doing. Lord, I ask that grace will fall upon this house. Let that one who never knew and never thought that they can be used by you, let such a one be the first that you use. We humbly pray and we ask in the name of Jesus Christ. And the church will say aloud, Amen.
Thank you for listening to the powerful Word of God. We hope you are blessed by this message. For more inquiries, go to healingfireministries.org or email us at info@healingfireministries.com or call at 072-591-2858. God bless you.